Welcome to Innovations in Injury Research Methods. We're going to get started. We have exciting talks for this morning. Basically, the amount of contribution that a field makes to the scientific advancement is geared in how well they can use existing methods and how well they can innovate methods that are introduced in other areas, as well as develop new methods. We're going to see presentations in this long-standing session this morning that have a broad range. I'm going to keep the introductions to a minimum so that the speakers have adequate time to present and take questions. Our first speaker will be Kiernan Harding. He is going to speak to us on estimating the global incidence of femur fracture. He grew up internationally in several countries, including Ghana and India and in the U.S. He attended college at Stanford, where he got a degree in biomedical engineering. He's currently a fourth-year medical student at Harvard. His interests lie in applying entrepreneurship, education, and device design to the growing field of global orthopedics. Last year, he worked with Harvard's Global Surgery Program, modeling the burden and return on investment for treatment of orthopedic trauma in low-resource settings like Haiti.
Thank you very much for the introduction, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, everybody, for coming. My name is Kieran Harding. So today I'll be talking about the methodology that we used for estimating the global incidence of femur fracture for road traffic collisions. So just for my disclosures, I have no disclosures to, no relationships to disclose. So this project really came from the experience that I had working in actually Dr. Mira's lab last year, the program of global surgery. We do a lot of work down in Haiti and also Rwanda and several other countries, and global surgery really is global, and so I don't think this experience is limited to just Haiti, but if you're in any hospital, you'll recognize that there's a tremendous epidemic of trauma going on in the world. And particularly in orthopedics, this is something that we really take a lot of interest in because some of the treatment options are so readily available and so life-changing for patients that we can't help but see the huge need and recognize the huge impact that we could have. So for us, our hypothesis was that femur fracture posed a significant burden, particularly in low- and middle-income countries from our experiences overseas. And disparities exist in this femur fracture incidence between the high and the low resource settings. Now, to start off, trauma in and of itself has approximately 5 million deaths worldwide. This is greater than the number of deaths caused by HIV/AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis combined. I think another shocking statistic when it comes to trauma is also that 40% of deaths in young people are related to trauma, which I think particularly for myself is very shocking. Let's take a minute to break down trauma and just talk about road traffic trauma. Road traffic collisions alone are the 8th leading cause of mortality worldwide and the 16th leading cause of years lived with disability. Now, this point about disability I think is really interesting. For every one death caused by a road traffic collision, there are anywhere from 3 to 50 injuries also associated with road traffic collisions. And with all of these injuries, you know, as we all know, DALYs are associated both with death and injury, and these injuries lead to long-term disabilities that can prevent particularly young people who are the main breadwinners of their families from contributing to not only their economies but also supporting their families. Now, what's interesting, and when it comes to injuries, we took particular interest in femur fracture because out of the number, the 3 or 4 main injuries that are caused during road traffic collisions, femur fracture is actually one of the most common. About 1 in 10 road traffic collisions leads to a femur fracture. Interestingly, conversely, 91% of femur fractures are caused by road traffic collisions. So naturally, as someone who's going into orthopedics, someone who sees a lot of orthopedic trauma down in Haiti this past year, this is something that we took a lot of interest in. And femur fracture is also interesting. As I mentioned previously, there are a lot of excellent treatment options that are available for patients with femur fracture. These are patients who can come in with a very debilitating injury and who can leave walking out the door. And these represent some of the most recurrent innovations in the field of femur fracture treatment that are intramedullary nailing that actually can be done without using a C-arm. One on the left, this is a tibia, not a femur, just so everybody's clear, but this the concept is the same. But these are methods of nailing these femurs, and patients can literally walk out the door the next day. So objectives for this study, unfortunately, there's very little data available as to the incidence of femur fracture. We know it's a big deal, we know it's a huge problem in the world, and we know that we can make a difference in the patients who have femur fracture. But we really have no idea where the femur fractures are happening, what the incidence is, and sort of the age breakdown of who's getting these femur fractures. So that was the objective of this study, to really estimate this incidence of femur fractures secondary to road traffic collisions for the 176 countries that we can collect enough data to do so, and these five age groups that we determined based on the WHO. We also wanted to understand the disparities in femur fracture incidence based on age group and also income group. And I guess mathematical model, I think, is maybe a little bit of a lofty title for what we did, but that's essentially, I think, the best title of what we tried to do here. What we had was a little bit of data from a variety of different sources that we then tried to piece together to allow us to estimate this incidence of femur fracture. And the way we did it was with a pretty straightforward mathematical model that just took into consideration two simple variables. So what we did is we took road traffic death rates, which were provided by the WHO, and these are very up-to-date. And as you can imagine, death rates are something that are a little bit easier to track on the international spectrum compared to injury rates, which are very variable, and some people may not even show up in hospitals, and that's why you see numbers like 3 to 50 injuries for every one death. It's very difficult to estimate this, but we tried our best. And so this variability really comes into the second variable, the RTI over RTD ratio. So what we tried to do is we took all of these studies that made some estimation of the ratio of road traffic deaths to road traffic injuries, and we plotted those and then took the interquartile range of them and took that ratio between 10.8 and 31.4. Plugging this back into the formula, this gave us road traffic injury rates, but these road traffic injury rates, unfortunately, were age standardized. And this is sort of a standard that the WHO has for a lot of their data that they have. Their road traffic death rates were standardized. Because we had simple ratio, our injury rates were standardized. So what we had to do is we had to take this sort of number, saying that all ages have the same rate of injury, and convert it to something like this, which we know to be closer to the truth. And so the formula for converting road traffic, the age standardized rates to individualized rates is here. We simply reversed it, but what we applied were patterns of road traffic injury rates from various countries that we were able to get from prior studies that were done in the Global Burden of Disease Study of 1990. This allowed us to at least have the ratios of how the different age groups varied in terms of their predilection to getting injury rates. So that basically brought us now to having the road traffic injury rates. These are now age de-standardized, so we now have rates for each age group, and we have them for 176 countries. And we were lucky enough from the Global Burden of Disease study to have incidence of femur fracture by road traffic injury proportions. So this, let me see if I can get a pointer here. Yeah, this value, we were actually provided by one study, the Global Burden of Disease study, and this was age, this was based on age grouping, which made it really nice when we applied it to our model. And this gave us our incidence of femur fracture. Now, what we wanted to do in our statistical analysis, and maybe in the questions we can get a little feedback as well, because understanding this is something that I would love your feedback on, we tried to compare the incidences of femur fracture in low and middle-income countries with those of high-income countries. We also wanted to look at the difference between age groups, if there were particular age groups which were at higher risk of developing femur fracture, and sort of intuitively, we can expect that these things would come up with some positive results. So what we did is we converted our rates into rate ratios, comparing these different road traffic the incidence of femur fracture rates, and then compared them using multivariate Poisson regression modeling and Wald test for significance. We are also in the process right now developing a Monte Carlo simulation to help estimate the variability within that range that I described prior. So all of our estimates were basically ranges of femur fracture incidence for each age and income group based on that road traffic injury over road traffic death rate ratio. And so hopefully we can find some way of estimating that variability using a Monte Carlo simulation. So the results of what we had, this is the range of femur fracture incidence that we calculated. Anywhere from 1 to 2.9 million femur fractures annually worldwide. And just to put this in perspective, this is approximately equal to the number of new HIV infections worldwide annually. So quite a large number and an epidemic that I think is lesser known. Also, when we look at femur fracture based on just pure numbers of femur fracture and the income and based on income of the country, 91% of femur fractures were in low and middle income countries, with 84% of the population. So clearly there's a disparity here. And I think that this becomes more clear when we look at the rates of femur fracture that were calculated. This is a little bit of a busy graph, but I think what I'd like to show is here in black is the high income countries. And regardless of age group, all of the lower income countries have a higher proportional rate of femur fracture, which represents that there perhaps is an increased risk of femur fracture in these lower income countries. Also, when we look at age groups across these different income groups, we do see some disparities in who are more at risk of developing these femur fractures. So in the younger groups, 5 through 14, we see a higher risk of a higher rate of femur fracture, particularly in the lower income countries. Now, so this project, how am I doing on time? I'm doing great. Okay. So in terms of what we would like to do with this research, essentially, is I think the methodology that we used to estimate the incidence of femur fracture, estimate the particularly from road traffic collisions, this is a methodology that I think we could apply to other conditions, other injuries and other things in trauma that are related to road traffic collisions in particular. I think in a world where it's very difficult for us to estimate femur fracture incidence, whether it's because we don't have access to healthcare infrastructure in the developing world where we actually can monitor the number of femur fractures that are happening, or people aren't showing up to hospitals, I think finding metrics of understanding what the possible incidence rates could be is very helpful, not only from an advocacy perspective, but also from a health infrastructure perspective, understanding where we can allocate resources to help build up trauma care in the developing world. But also here, we found disparities even among high-income countries. Also, what we've tried to do with the femur fracture incidence rates is we tried to economically model the benefit of treating these femur fractures. And what we did here is we used some data from several studies, including the recently published Global Burden of Disease study, to estimate the percentage of femur fractures that were receiving treatment based on broad geographic region. And this is simply an example of one that we were looking at. So for sub-Saharan Africa, there's a difference in the proportion of femur fractures that actually do receive treatment. And that proportion, now that we actually have an estimate of what the femur fracture incidence could be, we can compute that into both a human capital and a value statistical life economic estimate of the impact that we would have if we were able to correct those femur fractures, able to give those patients the ability to walk out of the hospital, go back to their lives, contribute to their economy and to their families. Now, another thing that we really were trying to do, and this is related to some other work that we were doing in Haiti, is try to estimate the cost of femur fracture care. This right here, it's busy, and I encourage you to maybe look at it later if you're interested, but this is a flow diagram of the process map for providing femur fracture care in a low-resource setting hospital. This is the University Hospital de Mirabelais in Haiti that we were setting up recently. And using this model, there's a process called time-driven activity-based costing that we can apply to this process map that will give us an estimation of the cost of treating femur fracture. And this really gives us the second half of this equation. Once we have the economic benefit and we have the cost of femur fracture, this allows us to get a rough estimate of what the return on investment for treating femur fracture would be, which I think in terms of a health advocacy perspective, this is a very powerful tool that we can apply for making the case for treating femur fracture, for treating trauma, and for investing in these systems. I'd like to thank all these folks, particularly the Doris Duke Program in Global Surgery, Orthopedics Department, Plastic Surgery Department, and Partners in Health for all their help with this. Thank you, and happy to take questions.